reading to us today from the book of Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, chapter 13. So happy to have Rochelle home with us this weekend. Welcome home, Rochelle. Rochelle loves her family and church family, which is the only reason she would leave Florida for this. We are so happy to have you home. Welcome home. Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. Another parable Jesus put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." We're getting ready to change gears on Sunday mornings, but just on this, the last Sunday morning before we do change those gears, I want to speak to you today about lessons from the mustard seed. We're going to look at one more parable Jesus taught and draw some lessons from that parable and apply them to where we are as a church and as individual disciples of Jesus today. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us. Let's ask Him to do His will in this service. Lord, I love You. Your presence is so beautiful right now. We feel the power of Your name. We feel the power of Your Spirit. So grateful for the honor, Lord, to be in Your house today, to be able to worship and lift up Your holy name and magnify You along with my brothers and sisters. I pray, move on us today. Speak to us, Lord, from Your word. We want to hear what You have to say. We want to hear what the word of God is speaking to us, not only as individuals, but as a church. I ask You, God, give us direction today from Your word. May You chart a course for us as a church and as a body, that we might know where You want us to go and what You want us to do and what You want us to be. I pray, Lord, speak today in this service in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're so happy for our guests who are here with us this morning. If you are a guest and do not already have an apostolic church home, we say, welcome home. We're so happy to have you here. Thank you for coming to worship with us. If you haven't already received a gift, we have a gift bag for you. If you haven't already received one in our hospitality room right after service, we have one for you. And if you have not yet filled out a guest card that gives us a little more information about you and gives us a chance to get to know you better and you to get to know us better, please fill one of those out and give them to an usher or a greeter or give one of them to me. And we want to stay in contact with you, be able to continue reaching out to you. I am a fan of strange news. Brother Scott told me today, I missed something completely yesterday in the news about an incoming missile coming to Hawaii. Thankfully, that was not a real threat. But I'm a fan of strange news. I enjoy trolling through news websites to come up with some strange headlines and read things that are happening in our world that just are a little bit odd. Like this one, storm blow historic building to Canada and Maine wants it back. I understand snow drifts. I'm not quite sure how you blow a building across the border. Rapper with song sell drugs gets prison for selling drugs. Interesting. Outdoor center warns skiers of... I can't even say it with a straight face. Dive bombing owl. I'd like to see the sign on the slopes that warn skiers of impending danger from dive bombing owl. French police stop drunk driver who is 73 years old after 17 spins round the roundabout. Drunk, dizzy driver. I'm not a fan of puns, but this one was pretty funny. Who is next? Man says he's latest victim of owls in Georgia. We have an epidemic in the United States of America. Sister Valen, postal carriers say aggressive turkeys are stopping mail service. Well, how's it going in Chesterville, but I can tell you how it's going in this city. And then perhaps my favorite, I wish the roughs were here to enjoy this one. The police say snow thwarts a shoplifter in North Dakota. He had everything planned and just didn't count on that snowdrift right outside the door to stop his shopping cart in its tracks. I'm going to climb out on a limb and make a bold statement. You're never going to read this headline in any newspaper or on any website, not in our newspaper, not on any. Storm uproots acorn and destroys house. You'll never read this headline. Storm uproots acorn and destroys house. Now, you might read about a tree that gets uprooted by a storm and falls over on a house. I've seen that happen. I've read those headlines. But you'll read some other bizarre headlines about dive-bombing owls and mail-stopping turkeys. But you're never going to read that an acorn was uprooted by a hurricane and fell over and destroyed a house, because acorns are just too small to do anything like that. But before a towering oak tree is ever a towering oak tree, it was always and it was first an acorn. That's the principle or the lesson Jesus tells with this parable. He's talking to 12 curious and anxious men who have forsaken everything to follow him. A few of them forsook a fishing franchise. One of them handed in his IRS ID badge. Another left the shade of a fig tree and a good book just to follow Jesus. They're wide-eyed and they're wondering what great things are in store for them. And Jesus tells them, listen, boys, this is how the kingdom of heaven works. It works like a mustard seed. It's the smallest of all seeds, but don't be discouraged, because once a farmer sows that seed into the ground and that tiny seed gets sunlight and rain, that seed is going to grow up to become the greatest of all herbs, so much so that birds will build their nests in its branches. Birds don't build nests in seeds. Birds build nests in trees. But before it becomes a bed and breakfast for the birds, it starts as a tiny seed in the hands of a great God. God does his best work when he has little to start with, which had to thrill the disciples, because as they looked around at each other, they looked at their reflection in the lake, they looked at each other's faces around the campfire, they realized, you know what, we're really not that much of a dream team for Jesus to start off with. But that was perfect, because they were now in the hands of a great God who could do amazing things with ordinary people. Jesus could have chosen a dozen degreed, long-robed theologians as his disciples, but we should find great hope in the fact he didn't, because he didn't have to. He chose mustard seed-sized men, but he knew, if I could put my spirit within them and put my name upon them and put a mission in their heart, I will grow them into men who are going to do great things in the kingdom of God. I preach today to mustard seed-sized disciples, present company included, who need to learn the lesson of the mustard seed. And that lesson is this: God does great work when he has little to start with. And only God sees what will be, not just what is. You line up that dozen disciples and let them ask Jesus a question. Say, okay, let's do this, Lord. Let's play a little game here. What do you see in Simon Peter? And Jesus would look to them and say, okay, I see a man who will stand up on the day of Pentecost and preach the message of the church on the birthday of the church. I see a man who will open the door for the Gentiles as he preaches salvation message to the first Gentile. I see a man who will write two inspired letters that become books in the Word of God. Andrew can't stay in his chair. So you see that in my brother, Simon? You see him? He knows more about salmon than he'll ever learn about a sermon. He's a fisherman, Lord. He's not a preacher. And the other 10, they doubled over with laughter. They say, that's not what we see. We see what Andrew sees. We see a guy who's rough on the outside, rougher on the inside. We see a speak before you think fisherman. You don't know Peter like we know Peter. But they don't see the time Simon Peter is going to spend with Jesus, and they don't see the time Jesus is going to spend with him. And they don't see the day when Jesus will fill him with his spirit and give him a mission that will stir him from his sleep for the rest of his life. All they see is a mustard seed-sized fisherman. But Jesus sees a Holy Spirit-filled, Jesus-name-baptized preacher, because Jesus sees what nobody else can see. He sees not only what is, but he sees what can be. He doesn't just see a seed, he sees a tree. I'm glad today that we can be in the hands of our great God who can do so much with so little. All right, how about John? What do you see in him? Lord, I'll tell you what I see in John. I see a guy who's a little on the sensitive side. What do you see in him? I see a man who's going to love me even to the point of death, who will have such spiritual insight and sensitivity that he will see visions in the Spirit and write 4 books in the Word of God. You see that in John? Sensitive. Definitely the best net mender Zebedee has on his payroll. He's got a big heart. He can get a little fiery sometimes. Don't make him mad. He's a good man, but I wouldn't say he's a man of God. When it comes to spiritual things, Lord, I'd say he knows about as much as a mustard seed. This parable teaches us God does not start with something great to do something great. He just needs a mustard seed and he can produce a towering tree because God does his best work when he has little to start with. Next week, Lord willing, I'm going to begin a series called In the Beginning, and we're going to go back to Genesis and we're going to take a look and walk our way through the story of Genesis. In the very beginning, God had a little bit to start with. And actually, he had even less than a little. He had nothing to start with. Most people would say that's not a really good way to get things started, but that's perfect for him because when he spoke light and life. And this spinning planet we're on right now with all of its trees and seas were spoken by God when he didn't have as much as a seed to start with because God does great things when he has little or even nothing to start with. When you pulled in the parking lot, show of hands, how many saw a limo pulling out? I saw a Subaru pulling out, but I didn't see a limo. Our red carpet in the sanctuary is actually burgundy. You could scour all 12 acres of our campus and you won't find a VIP room or a green room anywhere on this campus because God's church is not filled with celebrities and superstars. God doesn't have to have the most talented, the most athletic, the most magnetic people to start with. We're ordinary people, but here's our hope. We are in the hands, firmly held in the hands of our extraordinary God who can do extraordinary things with ordinary people. We are in him, and he is in us. And he gives us the power to do what we could not do on our own. I hear Jesus tell those same disciples, you shall receive power when once the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And when you have that power, you're going to be witnesses unto me. You're going to start off in Jerusalem. You're going to branch out into Judea. You'll even go into Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And the disciples would look at each other and say, well, I don't know we're going to do all that, Lord. Where are we going to get the power to do all that? And Jesus would say, I will give you power to do all that. The things you want to do for God, the places you want to go in God. Some of you look at yourself and say, I'm just a mustard seed sized saint. But the Lord says, I can do amazing things with just a little bit. If you'll put those in the hands of Almighty God, he can do great things with mustard seed. The disciples, they scattered at the cross, but when they came back together in a second floor room in an upper room. Assembled there, you have 120 mustard seed sized saints. You've got a room full of faithful fathers who eke out an honest living and faithful mothers who raise their family to live for God. Just 120 mustard seed sized saints. But you let God fill them with his Spirit. And you let them be baptized in Jesus' name and have their sins and their past remitted and washed away. Who would know they would grow into such a force that within just a few short years, it would be said of them, these have turned the world upside down. Them? There's not one high priest in the bunch. There's not a priest, there's not a preacher, there's not a philosopher, there's not a rabbi in the whole bunch. How are they going to turn the world upside down? Because somewhere they got alone with God, and God was able to fill them with his Spirit and give them the power to do what they could not do on their own. And Simon Peter, the very one they used to laugh about, was the one who stood up and preached that message to the church on the birthday of the church. And that message has been preached for 2,000 years in over 200 countries. That message has been preached in one language after another. And all of that started with 120 mustard seed sized saints. I'm encouraged because right now in this church this morning, I would say there are about 120 mustard seed sized saints. If God could do it then, I believe he'll do it now. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Hallelujah. God, we've got a major drug problem in Mount Vernon. I've got your spirit. I've got the spirit to give you the power to do what you couldn't do. I've got neighbors who don't even know how to spell your name, but I've got my spirit to put within you and give you a love and a burden to reach the neighbors and tell them what I can do for you, I can do for them. I've got a school of 1,000 who don't even believe in you, but I've got a God who puts his spirit within you and believes in you, that if he can empower you and give you a love and a burden for souls, he can use you to turn your world upside down. God does great things, and he doesn't have to have much to start out with. This sanctuary today is filled with faithful men and women who work in factories or offices every day, often underworked or overworked and many times underpaid. And the church said, amen. Filled with parents who work at home to raise a family and outside the home to support it. When you hear the call to glorify God and make disciples, don't count yourself out. You don't have to be able to explain the visions of Revelation or the horned beast in Daniel. You don't have to be able to explain the wheel in the middle of the wheel in Ezekiel. You don't have to have all of that understanding because the Lord knows, and none of us do. You look at yourself and say, I'm not a spiritual superstar. I'm not like him. I'm not like her. God does not need superstars. In fact, most of the time, he will overlook a superstar to try to find a third stringer that he will give him the glory instead of themselves taking the glory. He does just fine. Thank you with mustard seed-sized disciples. So everybody in this room has the ability to put your hand in life in the hand of Almighty God, and God has the ability to do things with you and through you you never thought were possible, because all the glory goes to him, not to us. According to verse 31, he plants the mustard seed in the earth. Then when they're grown, they become the greatest of all herbs. That's the process God uses for mustard seed-sized disciples. He wants to plant us in the altar. He wants to plant us in a prayer closet before the day begins and in a prayer room before service begins, because that reminds us that anything I do because of him, and anything I do for him. He's going to pour his rain down on us, and he's going to shine the light of his holy word on us. And by the time we're grown, we're going to be doing some great things for his great name in the kingdom of God. And every time we do anything great, we're going to give all the glory and all the praise to God, because he's the one who made it happen. It's all for his glory. I want to cast some vision this morning at the beginning of this new year. Most of you see yourself as a mustard seed-sized disciple. Most of you in this house have such a hunger, a gnawing hunger for God to use you, for God to work through you. Most of you are discontent just coming to church on Sundays and just hearing a word and worshiping, but you want God to do something in you and something through you. And so the process God gives us in this lesson is to allow God to plant you. Let him plant you in the altar. Every time we have an altar call, please come to the altar. Let the Lord plant you in the altar. Let him, give him time to pour out his spirit on you and to put within you a love for people and a love for the gospel. And before you know it, you're going to be teaching your coworkers the scriptures. You'll turn your dining room table into a Bible study pulpit. Some of you in here are going to fill an entire row with people from your neighborhood. You're going to start nursing home ministries or apartment outreaches, places where they can't come to church. So you're just going to take church to them. You're going to lay hands on the sick in here and out there, and they will recover, all for the glory of God. You'll start a Bible club in your school. You'll lead your family back to a right relationship with God. Those are all possible, and those will all happen when mustard seed-sized disciples put themselves in the hands of God and say, you can plant me where you want to plant me. Pour out as much rain as I need. Give as much sunlight as I need. I want to grow into somebody who can bless somebody else. The people who live by us and the people who work with us one day are going to sit by us and worship with us in church. I want to say that again so somebody can grab that. I want you to mix your faith with that today. Hebrews 4 teaches us, as we learned Wednesday night, that when the word is preached, sometimes it doesn't profit us. Why? Because we don't mix it with faith. Here comes the word, and faith has to go up and say, I agree with that. I can't snap, but I can clap. Here we go. The people who live by us and work with us are going to sit by us and worship with us in church. Anybody want to grab a hold of that right now in the spirit? Say, I believe that. That's me. That's for me. I might be mustard seed size, but I'm putting my hands in the hands of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Thank God for that right now. Let somebody come to your heart and mind you've been reaching out to and say, Lord, I see them sitting by me. I see them worshiping with me. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Give ourselves wholly to God. We'll realize we can do great things as we grow in the hands of our great God, because the key is not how great we are, it's how great He is. Another principle, a lesson I've picked up from this parable is growth, even in the kingdom of God, is often gradual. Jesus did not promise that growth would come overnight. Plant the acorn on Sunday, read under the oak tree on Monday. Doesn't happen that way. Growth is gradual, and any parent can tell you that. I'm pretty sure we brought Mackie home last week from the hospital. Pretty sure. Wasn't that about right last week? Maybe 2 weeks ago. Mackie's about to head into the youth group in March. Rayleigh's already out of a car seat, and she just gave her booster seat the boot this past year. It feels like only yesterday brought these two girls home from the hospital, but it's actually been over 4,000 yesterdays since I became a dad. I have no idea how they got so tall, so fast, and so smart so fast. They already know that pizza tastes good and peas taste bad. And soon they're going to be writing term papers, and Jesus help me, they'll be learning how to drive. And I have no idea how it happened. Brother Gavin, no idea how baby Layla already celebrated 1 year with us. No idea how that happens. No idea how I can stand up the girls on the same wall, take the same pen and say, wait a minute, you're supposed to be down here. What are you doing up here? I don't see the growth. It just happens day after day after day, meal after meal after meal, year after year after year. No idea how they get so tall so fast. That's the principle of the mustard seed. In the kingdom of God, growth is gradual. And here's where it happens. It happens one Sunday after another Sunday, after another Sunday, after another Sunday. It happens one Wednesday night Bible study, after one Wednesday night Bible study, after one Wednesday night Bible study. It happens one altar call at a time, one more altar call, one more altar call, one more prayer meeting. Don't ever discount the power of one encounter with God. Don't ever discount the power of one Bible study. I'm so thankful. I mentioned this Wednesday, but I'll just say this for all of the folks who are here today. I'm thankful for those who come on Wednesday night Bible study. We dive deep in the Word of God. We mine truths out of the Word of God right now to the book of Hebrews that will help us to grow in our relationship with God. I'm thankful for those who come to prayer meeting, pre-service prayer or the Saturday night prayer meeting when we're able to have it. Because we find ourselves growing. You probably don't see it. You probably will never notice it day after day after day after day after day. But if you take a step back and look 1 month, 2 months, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, you'll see that you have grown in God, even though you didn't realize you were growing. If you walk away from an altar call, you walk out of a prayer meeting, you're not going to feel any taller. You're not going to feel like you've dug your roots any deeper. But remember, growth in the kingdom of God is gradual, but it's growth. You won't see the centimeters you're growing or the ounces we're gaining in the spirit because growth is gradual. But even though we don't know we're growing, as long as we're planted where God planted us and His rain is falling on us and His light is shining on us, we are growing in God. This lesson proves true with seasoned saints of God. But it also proves true with sinners who are making their way to God. Often we see the growth with brand new people because it's many times it's very drastic. It's night and day. They used to be this and do this, but just after a short while now they are walking with Jesus and Jesus is walking with them. But even in their lives, sometimes it's gradual. Although you can't see growth, like we want to see growth as quickly as we hope to see it. Just know, as long as you're where you have been planted by God, you can grow. People come in the doors, they're probably not going to look like us, talk like us, act like us. In a few services, they're here. Many of them won't know when to clap or when to stand or when to say amen. They hear everybody praying together and they think, whoa, wasn't the guy in the front supposed to be praying? Everybody's supposed to be listening. Probably won't know how to respond whenever you look at them and say, praise the Lord. But as long as they've allowed God to plant them, if you're a guest with us, let me tell you this, as long as you're where God is planting you and allowing His Holy Spirit to fall on you and allowing the light of the Word of God to shine on you, you're growing in your walk with God. I mentioned this earlier, but if you are a guest, we are so glad you're here. I want to thank you for coming in freezing rain to hear the Word of God, or freezing weather, freezing rain too. If I mention the book of Acts, some of you might think that's something you buy from Lowe's to chop down a tree. And that's okay. Keep coming. Keep worshiping. Keep praying. You may not even know how to pray. That's okay. Keep praying. Keep just saying, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I want you. Jesus, I love you. Keep getting closer to Jesus. Keep learning. Keep growing. Keep walking with God. And after a few messages and a few altar calls and a few home Bible studies, you're going to know that Acts is actually a book in the Bible. And you're going to know Acts 2:38 and what it says, and you're even going to be able to find it in your Bible. And you're going to look back one day, maybe a year down the road, maybe 5 years down the road if Jesus tarries. We're going to look back on our church, and we're going to look back on the families God has planted and is planting in the kingdom of God, and we're going to realize the truth of this parable. We started off with 120 or so mustard seed-sized disciples, but those disciples bloomed where they were planted, and we allowed God's Spirit and His Word in our lives, and our growth has been gradual. But look where we are compared to where we've been. And when we get to that place, all we'll be able to say is, look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. Let's stand right now. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you. I love you, Jesus. I love you. I praise you today, Lord, for what you are doing in us individually and for us as a church. Thank you for what you're doing in every family in our church, Lord, and what you're doing in our church family. Thank you, Jesus, for the growth you are bringing in us. You are growing us, God, deeper in our love for you and our love for the Word of God. And you're growing us wider as we reach more people and make a difference in it. Impact in this city, in this county. I thank you for the growth you are bringing. God, I ask you, help every one of us in this room. Help us to be planted where you planted us. And help us, Lord, to grow day by day, service by service, year by year, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Our altar call this morning is for everybody who just wants to grow in God. The only prerequisite for coming to the altar today is you just want to grow in Him. Want to be closer to Him. Want to know Him more. Want to know about Him more. Want to have a closer relationship and walk with Him. If that's where you are, you say, I just want to get closer to Jesus. This altar calls for you. Come and join me at this altar. Let's take some time right now. Let's allow God to plant us in the altar. Allow God to pour out His Spirit on you today. He's already shown His light on us. His Word.